Okay, so what do we got going on here? This is Charlottesville that day, August 12th, 2017. This is one of many scenes that took place. All right? And what's going on here, these guys coming down the steps on the left side, those are all Klansmen. You don't know that because you don't see them in their robes and hoods. I know that because I know all of those guys individually. I know them personally. The guy in the white shirt with the Confederate flagpole trying to hit the black guy, he's the Grand Dragon of Virginia. And anyway, so they're coming down the steps from this Confederate statue park, and the black guy has an improvised flamethrower aerosol can. He lit a match. Now, who you don't see in this picture is the Imperial Wizard, the national leader. He'd already come down the steps. He's about 8 paces ahead, so he's out of the camera shot. And he came down the stairs right as the guy was spraying the spray and lighting the match. You're going to see a puff of aerosol in the air, and you'll see the Imperial Wizard. He's wearing a black bandana, a blue jean vest, and black jeans. You're going to see him like duck under the mist, and then he'll come, you know, towards you in the screen and walk out of camera shot. So he gets about here. He turns around, and he sees what's going on. He sees this guy trying to set his people on fire or whatever. He pulls out a gun, and he points it at the head of this black guy, and he shouts, "Hey, nigger," and then he lowers the gun and fires it, and the bullet goes into the gravel right there in front of the black guy's feet. And then the wizard turns and continues walking in the direction which he was walking. The Charlottesville police are standing less than 10 feet away. They watch the whole thing go down. They're standing there in their green neon vests. They watch the whole thing go down, and they did not move. They did absolutely nothing. And for that reason, and much more of their inaction that day, the mayor of Charlottesville fired the Charlottesville police chief. And so now they have a new police chief. So let's watch this video clip. There he is, right there in the vest. Right there.
Yeah.
And you see the police in the green neon over there. Okay, so now, you know, here's what we have to realize. You know, people in Los Angeles or in Boise, Idaho, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, you know, or New York City, you know, they may think, oh, well, you know, that's Charlottesville. I don't have to worry about that. Yes, you do have to worry about it, because anywhere there's hate, that can happen in any city, USA. And if you're an American, I don't care where you live, Charlottesville is your city. Every American city is your city, because America is
your
country.
Take responsibility for yourself. Don't pretend like it's just someplace else.
Exactly, because if you're an American, this country is your country, and every city within it is your city. So, and your country can only become one of two things. It can become that which you sit back and watch it become, or it can become that which you stand up and make it. So you have to ask yourself the question, do I want to sit back and see what my country becomes, or do I want to stand up and make my country become what I want to see? So I chose the latter. So you saw the guy in his street clothes, the Imperial Wizard. This is him in his Klan attire. There he is. Okay. So I called the dude up. I called him up on the phone.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. That's what I do. And I said, look, man, I said, you know, you and I need to talk. Not Klansman to black man, but man to man, American to American. I said, your Confederate history is just as much a part of my black history as my black history is a part of your history. I said, it's all American history. Let's you and I get together and explore American history. So I talked to him for about half an hour on the phone. He agreed. So we set a date. Yeah, we set a date. I drove by myself an hour and a half to his house. And I sat in his living room, KKK stuff all over the walls, Confederate stuff. I sat on his couch. Yeah, I sat on his couch. His couch was covered with a Confederate flag blanket. And so I sat there, and his Klans lady fiance was there. So I listened to them give me a 2-hour lecture on American history from a Confederate perspective, of course, right? So I just sat there. I listened to him. Some things he got right, some things he got wrong, but I listened. And when he got done, it was my turn to talk. So I corrected him on the things that he got wrong, and I commended him on the things that he got right. But I said, before, you know, I get into my little part, here's what I want to do. I said, there's a new museum that opened up in D.C. called the Smithsonian National Museum of African American Heritage, History and Culture. I said, I have some connections there. I can get some tickets for us. I said, let me get some tickets. We'll set a date, and you and your fiance, the Klans lady, you all come down to my house in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I will drive you down to the museum. I said, let's the three of us explore that museum together. He said, okay. So I got the tickets. We set the date. They came down to my house. We sat here in my living room for a little bit. I put them in my car, and I drove to D.C., and we went to the museum. And this is us entering the largest museum, the largest Black history museum in the world, right? Notice what he's wearing on his head. There, okay, his rebel flag, okay, and that's the Klans lady there, his fiance. So So what do we do while we're in here?
You guys in Mod Squad.
Yeah. So we looked at displays on slavery, on segregation, on integration. We watched little video clips on Blacks in the arts, Blacks in science, in education, in medicine, in sports, in music, etc. And his favorite music artist is Elvis Presley. And Elvis is one of my favorites too. But the man that I worked for, as you know, Chuck Berry invented rock and roll. Without Chuck Berry, there would be no Elvis. There would be no Beatles, no Rolling Stones.
No Rolling Stones.
No Led Zeppelin, no anybody. Anybody who plays rock music, all of their DNA goes back to Chuck Berry.
Right?
Yeah, so Chuck had donated one of his Cadillacs, Cherry Red Cadillac, to the museum, and it's on display there. So I said, hey, you know, let's go check out Chuck Berry's car. You know, I've seen it at Chuck's house, but you know, he'd never seen it. Wow. So now you see him there. You see him, he's holding the Klans lady. He's holding his fiance, right? So here's a picture of me working with Chuck Berry. Okay, that's, he's playing Johnny B. Goode there, going into his guitar solo and into the duck walk, right? So now we go to Chuck's car. There's a car behind him. Now who's holding the Klans lady, the fiance? You see how fast I work?
Wow.
You see how fast I work?
Human beings, man, human beings.
Yeah, okay. So we toured this museum for about 2.5 hours. You know, it's impossible to take in everything in that short time. I mean, you cannot even absorb everything in 2.5 months. It's that vast. But I figured 2.5 hours is enough. So I said, okay, you know, let's leave. So we go outside. I give her, the Klans lady, I give her my camera on my cell phone. I said, here, take a picture of the Imperial Wizard and me. And I walk and I stand over next to the marquee outside the museum. And this is what he did, totally unscripted, totally unplanned. There. So this is a little bit less than a year.
Holy cow.
A little bit less than a year after he pulled out that gun and said, hey, boom, right? So.
Holy cow.
He did that. The shooting incident was August 12th, 2017. This is towards the end of June, 2018. So just a little bit less than a year, all right? Now, because I've been working with him this whole year, you know, we've developed a relationship, a friendship, right? He's going to marry that girl in a couple of weeks from this picture. So I get invited to the wedding. I get invited to a Klan wedding, right? Now, wow. It gets, but check it out, Chris. It goes even deeper than that. Human beings are crazy, all right? She's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Her father was too ill, too sick to come up this way to walk his daughter down the aisle and give her away. And rather than ask one of their trusted Klan members that you saw walking down those steps with the Confederate flagpole trying to hit somebody, they asked me, would I step in and walk her down the aisle?
Wow.
How crazy is that, right? I said, sure. So here you go. There I am walking her down the aisle.
Wow. You are a good man.
So
you're
this,
a good man.
They got married at their house. And if you look up on the second story in the bedroom window, you see the Confederate flag.
Right. Yeah.
So now, but here's the point. Nobody changes overnight. So he still has a little ways to go. But at least now he's going in the right direction.
Right.
Okay. So now CNN had interviewed him a long time back about his activities and stuff. And he said he was going to be buried in his Klan robe. So I asked him, I said, listen, you know, no black man has ever walked a Klansman down the aisle before. I said, would you mind if I contact CNN and ask them to cover this? He said, okay. He trusts me 100%. And right. he says, just ask them not to film the faces of my Klan members. They can film my face. They can film.
Fair enough.
They can film his face, the bride's face, the preacher's face, but not the members. And so I said, yeah, I understand that. So I told CNN, they said, okay. So they ran what he said on the banner, you know, I'll be buried in my Klan robe, whatever, under this thing. So here we are.
As you stand in the presence of God.
This time, it was Davis giving something away. The bride.
Me and his friendship has been something really special.
She wanted me to be a part of this wedding. That's beautiful. That's a seed planted. So there you have the imperial wizard, the groom, the Klan's lady fiance, the bride, and the surrogate father.
I can tell you something. I'm sitting here with my mouth open the vast majority of this conversation.